History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25 years old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Hello, you're on History Makers. Steve McKenna here, the producer for History Makers and a special host today, filling in for Matt and Grace. And today I have a very special guest in the studio, Eloisa from Brisbane in Aussie. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Steve, this is such a pleasure and an honour to be here.
That's great. Now, it's good to have you in the studio. Now, you've got an amazing testimony, which we're going to hear really soon. Mm-hmm. But let's start off, shall we? I detect a little bit of an accent. Sounds a little bit maybe European, perhaps. Where were you born and raised?
I was born in Tuscany, so I'm Italian originally.
Ah, lovely. Spaghetti, bolognese, all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Yes, very much. But I was also raised between Africa, India, and the Middle East. So
wow.
I spent most of my childhood in Africa and my adolescence between India and the Middle East.
That's incredible. So what sort of influences have you had from that time in the Middle East and Africa?
I believe a huge influence. It's given me a very broad overview about different cultures, but most importantly about the heart and the soul of these different cultures. So, you know, places like the Mediterranean and Africa, India, very similar. Also the Middle East, very similar in background in terms of their warmth. You know, it's all about family, warmth, sitting around the table, celebrating.
Yeah.
Very much like Jesus did, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, so you're born in Tuscany, and how long were you there for? When did you move away from there? Was that early on in life?
Yes, I was about 3 years old when I went to Africa.
Right.
And however, we used to go to Italy a lot every six months because my father was working at the international airport, so we traveled to Italy a lot and spent months at a time in summer with my grandparents and extended family.
That sounds lovely.
Wouldn't
mind doing that myself. That'd be lovely. No. Italy's a lovely country.
I really miss it. It was beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful place. Now, you've got a bit of a story to tell, okay? You got into the New Age. Tell me how that happened for you.
Well, the way that happened is by the time I was 24, I was already coming out of my first marriage. I was very young because I got married at 18. And life was pretty tough. I was a single mother and things just started falling apart already at that age. And I was blessed enough, I think it was a blessing now that looking back, to meet somebody that had been in India for many, many years who was following, you know, some of the methods. And he introduced me to these things. And when I found these kind of practices, I felt they were at the time an answer. I was seeking by the time I was in a lot of pain and emotional sort of upheaval. And I was just looking for ways to better myself and to better my life. So I got into some practices and that's what sparked the interest into all the different types of methods of self-healing and self-exploration, I guess.
Yeah, well, tell me about some of those practices. Now, I was introduced to something you did, which you've now brought over into Christendom, if you like, which I think is amazing.
Yes.
Because it's all about music, isn't it?
It is,
and meditating on God's word and His promises. So, tell us a little bit about the special instruments that you have.
I have a number of different instruments. I play the electronic keyboard, but halfway through my journey, I discovered the power of sound and the effect that it has on consciousness, or more importantly, on the brain, on the brain waves. And now we know through quantum physics, for example, which is a branch of science, that sound and vibration, the body is not as solid as it looks. It's made out of sound and vibration. And so we know as well from the Bible that God created the whole world through sound. He spoke the world into existence. So we cannot deny these truths, the fact that you know, there are these principles, the divine principles that matter to us. So there is a relationship between sound or the sounds that we hear at the moment. You know, a lot of the sounds that we hear too are distorted. You know, we are in a lot of technology and stuff. But essentially, sound has the potential to affect consciousness and affect our nervous system. So I studied quantum physics and, well, not quantum physics, but metaphysics. And that helped me to understand on the effect that sound has on the brain waves and what are the instruments that can be used. So I was using and still have crystal alchemy singing bowls. They are infused with precious metals and gemstones. And, of course, we know also from science and quantum physics that crystals have frequencies and they have the potential to affect, you know, our nervous system.
Yes.
So I started using them a number of years ago. I was running events and workshops. Effectively, I was doing things that were relaxation sessions for people to help them to come in and just slow down, slow their minds down from, you know, the stressors of life. And I did that for a number of years, to be honest, and it was just beautiful. Including that, I also had a gong. I had some flutes. But yeah, essentially, I did it for a number of years in terms of, you know, helping people with relaxation.
That's awesome. We were talking about how you grew up in the New Age movement. Well, a lot of your younger days were in the New Age movement. You still look young, by the way, but that's okay.
Thank you.
So, we all do. We all do. So, and something changed for you. Dramatic change for you. Tell us about that dramatic change in your life when you met Christ.
Well, that happened about almost 8 years ago now.
Yeah.
I was doing pretty well with some of the things that I was engaged in terms of teaching and running events and workshops. I was also a fairly known music artist and writer. I used to write articles for some of the spiritual magazines in the country. I co-written a book called The Way of the Natural Healer because I was interested in health and wellness and natural medicine. I told you, Steve. And sound therapy and those sort of things. But halfway through that, my life started falling apart. My marriage started falling apart and things basically stopped working the way they were.
Yeah.
And towards the tail end of that, I eventually came out of my marriage. Unfortunately, that broke down to a point that couldn't go on. And it was a very hard moment in my life. I had already been through a couple of marriages and unfortunately I was not doing very well. I went through a very deep crisis to the point that I didn't even know if I was going to make it out of that darkness. And soon after that, about a month and a half after that, I ended up having a very deep experience, an encounter with Christ. So my coming to Christ was not because, I mean, I grew up as a Catholic as a child, but I had abandoned that pathway pretty much by the time I was a teenager. So I didn't really have a reference point until I had that encounter.
Right.
And that encounter happened in a Thai restaurant out of all places.
There you go.
So I went in there because I had been for a couple of days. I'd moved away from my husband's, from the marital home for a few days. And I hadn't been eating for a few days and then I decided I was really hungry. So I decided to jump in the car and I drove. I was in an area where I didn't know very well. And whilst I was driving, I saw a strip of shops and there was a little Thai restaurant. And I thought to myself, well, that looks healthy. So I just walked in. And this little Thai restaurant was very unusual. It was very small, but it had beautiful candles on the table. And I thought to myself, okay, I'll go and sit here. And I went at the back of the restaurant. There was a little table for two. So I sat down at this table. I ordered some food. There wasn't a lot of people. And I sat at this table and I was very deep in thought. I was very deep within myself and I was fairly down as well about what was happening. I was pretty distraught. And after a few moments, I lifted my eyes and in front of me there was a chair at the table. And as I was looking at this chair, all of a sudden, I actually saw like a shape appear in front of me.
Right.
And the shape was starting to appear like a head. And then I saw the hair. And then I saw the hair touch some shoulders. And as soon as I saw the shoulders, I saw like a white robe. And as I saw this white robe, the first thing that came to me is I put my eyes down. I could see it very clearly like I'm seeing you.
Yeah.
And I just put my eyes down and I felt in my spirit or in my heart, I said, oh, my God, that's Jesus. And as soon as I said that, the other thing that came to me, and by the way, I was saying this in my mind. I mean, I was in a little restaurant. And then next thing that I said is, don't ask me how that happened, but the only thing that came to me is, Lord, I am not worthy to sit at your table. This was something we used to say at Mass when I was a Catholic.
Yeah.
And this is what came to me. And I said, Lord, I'm not worthy to sit at your table. And as, no sooner I was thinking that in my mind, the being in front of me said in a very beautiful, gentle voice, you are worthy to sit at my table. And at that point, I started crying. And then I asked, then I began to look up and there it was again. It was still there. And then the first thing that I asked, I said, Lord, why did this happen to me? And he said, because you had to come to me. And the next question that I asked is, why are you here? And he said to me, I have come to take the thorns out of your heart.
Wow.
At that point, I was weeping, and this lady brought some food to my table.
Yeah.
And I then felt my right hand lift by itself. I wasn't touching it. I wasn't doing anything. And there was a spoon on the table, and my spoon lifted. And then I grabbed a thing of rice that was there next to me, and I put it on my plate. And then this beautiful being said, this is the Son. And then another spoon of rice. This is the Father. This is the Son, and a third spoon. And this is the Holy Spirit. Now eat. And so then I ate of this food as I was sitting, and the presence was still there, and it stayed there for quite some time until I finished eating. I did not speak anymore. I was just crying. And then at one point I was looking around to see if anyone was seeing what I was seeing. Yeah, and of course it wasn't. It was my experience.
Yes.
But it was very real, Steve. It was as real as I'm speaking to you now. The thing about that is not just that I felt that it was real, but from that point, then I went home and the being came with me and then stayed in my room for a while, and I was asked to pick up a Falstaff book that I had, and then I started writing question and answer, and it went on for a number of hours. And after I went back and read it, there was some beautiful things that were written about my inner garden and how to meet him there. And you know what? I stayed in that process for quite some time. And from that moment, my life completely changed.
Yeah.
That's how I first came to Christ.
There you go. That's an amazing, amazing testimony.
It is.
And life changing.
A very life changing. Everything changed.
Everything changed.
Everything.
And just tell us a little bit about how, just the start of some of those changes.
Well, the first thing that happened is I stopped doing what I was doing. In other words, in another time I had just come out of a relationship, and I know that at that time, then my husband moved on and he went straight away with another woman shortly after that. I basically remained in this space. Then I started having other, what I now know were divine encounters, where somebody put a Bible in my hands. And then I began to discover certain principles and truths that I didn't know about. And so I became very devoted to learning. And so I dived in. And then everything else at the time in my life, the way that it was kind of collapsed. In other words, life started getting stripped away. That's the only terminology I can find at the moment, of all the entertainment and the distractions. And I had to focus on this journey in a way like I've never done before. Like, I was used to meditating and retreating because I'd been on a bit of a mystic path, but nothing like the way the Lord took me. So, yes, I began to retreat basically from life a bit, even though I had to still function, and spend most of that time reading and learning and then discovering things as I went along. So that's how it started changing. And then also my behavior and the way that I thought started changing.
Of course. Yeah.
Of course, that was gradual. But the initial part, I must admit, Steve, was very hard. Anybody thinks that coming to
it is a process.
It's like, I wasn't necessarily jumping hallelujah up and down. It was very hard initially. The stripping away was actually quite painful.
Yeah.
But necessary. Absolutely necessary.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned before about the crystal bowls, the healing bowls. We're going to come back in a moment and talk about that, but we're going to talk just now, just very, very quickly. Now, you're also a worship leader or a worshiper, a worship singer, and a songwriter and a fine musician as well, I must say. I've heard some of your music.
Thank you.
I think we should share some of your music. Tell us about this song.
Oh, the one that I'm going to share with you. I believe it's very special. You know, for the past 8 years, once I came to Christ, because I used to do a lot of devotional music that was, you know, to other deities and things. And when I came to Christ, then for a period of time, obviously all that sort of got stripped away and I got delivered after I did my repentance. You know, it was pretty drastic.
Yeah.
So then now I still had the gift of loving music and having the passion of music since I was four, and I'm self-taught. So then through the different difficult moments, different types of songs started coming about, and some of them were in very specific moments where I was going through a specific crisis.
Yeah.
And then I discovered that the way these songs were coming out were not necessarily, some of them were worshiping Christ and Jesus and God and Yahweh. But after a little while, some songs started coming in that it was like the Lord was singing to me.
Yes.
As I needed that because I was in distress. And so it was like the Lord, my beloved, was singing to me. So this particular one day I was just sitting there and, you know, I'm very big on scriptures, and I'm very big on,
yes,
especially Psalm, you know, the psalmist as well, known, yeah, to be also musicians.
That's right.
And in fact, at one point God says, bring in the musicians.
Yes.
You know, we,
yeah,
are,
yes,
the ones that kind of cut the road into getting rid of some of the stuff that is in the way for,
absolutely,
us to be able to be in the heart.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah,
in the presence of the heart. And so I was sitting there, and sometimes I get these tunes. I'm just sitting at the keyboard and all of a sudden I'm hearing a tune and it just starts happening. I don't even have to think too much about it. I don't know how to write music technically. The way that I do it, it's by ear. In other words, if I'm hearing something in my spirit, I just put my hands to the keyboard and all of a sudden the notes just come out. And,
yeah,
so I was sitting there and this tune started coming up. It was like a beautiful tune, and all of a sudden I'm hearing also the words that are coming, and I actually realized that it was actually the prayer, the Our Father prayer. And 2 minutes later, there it was.
There
it was literally just happened. And I played it a number of times, and I just realized this is not just a prayer, it's an instruction, it's a command, and it's so many things together. And our Lord's Prayer is so powerful. It's one of the only prayers that Jesus instructed us to,
yes,
do regularly.
Yes.
And so there it was. But,
yeah,
for a while I didn't do anything until last, you know, mid last year. And then one day I felt I really need to take this into the studio, and there it is.
There it is. Well, I think we should listen to it. I've heard it. It's a very powerful song. And let's hear it now.
Kingdom, thine is the power.
You're on History Makers with Steve McKenna, filling in for Matt Prater and Grace Buckman, who's also one of the regular hosts here on History Makers. Special guest in the studio today is Eloisa, and all the way from Brizzy, and she's been telling us about her amazing testimony and her amazing music as well, her beautiful worship music. Earlier on, we heard about how she was involved in the New Age and using sound and crystal bowls in the New Age. Well, Eloisa, you're now a Christian. You've been a Christian for 8 or so years, and the bowls are actually a musical instrument. They're not just a New Age. They're a musical instrument. Tell us all about those.
Well, I'm a born again, so I'm definitely now, I believe, adopted into the kingdom.
Absolutely.
So to tell you a little bit about the crystal bowls, it's very simple. They are a musical instrument. Yeah. I've got the full pentatonic scale, meaning from do to do. So they play notes. The actual crystal bowls are just notes. Yes, they are infused with precious metals and gemstones. And at the beginning, when I first came to Christ, I was told all sorts of things about crystals. And then I did some research and discovered that the New Jerusalem has got crystals. So Steve, is that God is the creator of all.
That's right.
And we can take things and use for the kingdom. Of course, you know, the enemy has used things, you know, so the occult and things like that. He tries to imitate God. But at the end of the day, everything is a creation of God and we can use it for the benefit. I also believe that we cannot deny, you know, our humanness and existence. And we know through science and quantum physics that, you know, our body is made of sound vibration and we can affect the way that we feel and think when we're playing the right sounds. My crystal balls are tuned to 432 hertz harmonic of light.
Mm.
So if you know anything about frequency and sound, we know that internal body organs vibrate at different frequencies and vibrations. So we need to take that into consideration that when we're using sound frequency, we can affect our health and wellness. So if I'm playing a certain type of frequency or sounds, I can create an inner effect internally in the body that gives relaxation, for example, through the vagus nerve, which is the central nervous system.
That's right.
So it really just is an instrument to be able to connect with. If I'm playing the crystal balls, I have now learned to for example, do psalms with it or prayers as I am playing them.
Yes.
So that basically as I'm using these sounds, they are a conduit for information. So sound and crystals are both a conduit for information. So if somebody's standing in the room over crystal balls and I'm playing them and I'm saying, for example, Psalm 23 over the top of it, it cannot but just soothe the listener in a way that it gives them a sense of relaxation and peacefulness. And that's the aim.
And really. I can definitely vouch for that because I visited you and you played the bowls and you did the scriptures with the bowls. And it was just incredible. It was so powerful. It was a powerful thing. And we say about music that it's a musical instrument.
It is.
Well, so is a piano, so is a guitar, and that can be used for evil or it can be used for good. In a similar way, that's how I see this. It's made of crystals, but it is a sound. It is a musical instrument, and God is the creator of sound.
Absolutely.
He is the creator of music, and the devil does try and steal what is good and wholesome that God has created.
That's correct.
To imitate.
That's
as
correct.
You said, yeah.
Well, God created also the precious metals, the gemstones. He said the gold and the silver are mine. I, for example, have 8 crystal balls that are infused with 24 karat gold. So precious metals belong to God. So the crystals, he created the mountains with the crystals. So
that's right.
Look, I don't have an issue with, I'm not sure what the issue is in some of the denominations, but to be honest, I haven't really used them within the body of Christ yet. I have used them at home a lot as a healing tool for me. Sometimes I just pray over them. With them, and I think it's just a beautiful space to be in.
Yes, I think it's something worth looking at, to be honest, in Christendom, if you like, because they are very powerful if used the right way.
That's
if
correct.
Used for the right reason. I think it's just amazing. Well, thank you for joining us on History Makers today. It's been wonderful to hear your testimony, your music, and all about the special instruments that you play. Now, do you have a website or a Facebook page or YouTube or anything where people can check out what you do?
Yes, I have a Facebook page that I used to put some of my song and I will be starting to put a lot more of my actual live recordings as they come out because there's lots of other songs that I want to do. It's called Music from Zion.
And your YouTube channel, you said you had a YouTube channel?
Yes, it's very much in its infant stages.
Right.
I would like to start putting some things that hopefully will help people.
Yeah.
It's called Steward of the Mysteries of God.
Wow.
And it's,
That's great stuff. So your Facebook again?
Eloisa Rohe. So my name is Eloisa Rohe.
Yeah.
And, the channel is called Steward of the Mysteries of God. And maybe there's other ones, but you'll see my picture and there's also my name there, so you should be able to identify it. Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, Eloisa, thank you for joining us today in History Makers. And I believe and I think you are a history maker.
Thank you.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. There you'll also find links to all of our social media channels and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry, and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater, and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.